It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks to your program suggestions, we dive into questions about Medicare health plans and how to navigate coverage and costs. We heard from Julia in Madison, who wants to elevate a Wisconsin resource called the Medigap Helpline for
all individuals in Wisconsin that are trying to decipher through the Medicare, you know, all the choices to be made.
Join the conversation about federal health insurance. Call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie Tischer is owner and an independent broker with Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, LLC. Sadie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate.
Well, let's begin with prescriptions. Price negotiations with drug makers will soon begin for 10 drugs covered under Medicare. What should people understand about the federal government's price review process?
Well, there's a lot to understand, but in a nutshell, long term, we're really hoping this will equate to savings, especially for prescriptions that are essential, life-saving, and don't have an alternative. So the federal government has decided to focus on prescriptions in certain classes and drugs that don't have a viable generic alternative. Brand names are incredibly expensive under the Medicare Part D program. So this is exciting news. Beneficiaries really shouldn't expect very immediate relief. Most of the negotiation is sort of a slow ramp up, and we're going to see it really start going underway in 2026. But I'm really hopeful that it will help.
Part D of Medicare provides that prescription drug coverage. Are you surprised by any of the 10 drugs selected by the federal government?
No, I'm not surprised. They are expensive medications and they're relatively common. So I think it will be helpful to folks.
You said 2026. When will people see some relief on drug costs?
Well, we're seeing some slight relief this year in that the Medicare Part D program's catastrophic phase now actually has a cap this year. For 2024, it's going to be capped at $8,000 worth of prescription drug spending. That is still a very high amount, but in years past, in 2023 included, that number had no cap. There was no cap on prescription drug spending for beneficiaries. People are going to see the biggest impact in 2025 when there is a $2,000 cap or out-of-pocket maximum, essentially, on prescription drug pricing. So we'll see some slight changes for 2024, but the major changes are going to happen in 2025 and beyond.
According to Medicare, most plans have a coverage gap that is sometimes called the donut hole. That's a, you know, the temporary limit on what a drug plan will cover. How can someone avoid the donut hole coverage gap?
So when you are doing a review for your prescription drug plan, whether that's within a Medicare Advantage plan or just a standalone drug plan, you want to do that during open enrollment and search based on your specific drugs and your preferred pharmacy. Sometimes that does mean you need to, or it might be suggested that you change plans so you get your best pricing. Generally speaking, my best advice is if there is a commercial for a prescription, that is a very expensive prescription and you are likely to fall into the donut hole. So I think the best preventive advice I can give is when you're at your doctor's office and they're suggesting a prescription, ask if there's a generic available.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer, who is helping us through Medicare open enrollment period, Wisconsin health insurance broker in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Sadie, COVID-19 no longer considered a national emergency by the federal government. And as a result, the Medicaid continuous enrollment condition ended earlier this year. How is the removal of the enrollment condition affecting people?
So now through next year, people are going to have a review. During the public health emergency, reviews were paused. So many people who otherwise might have lost Medicaid were able to stay on. So we're basically just seeing those people now going off of Medicaid. For the most part, those are people who had lower incomes during the pandemic, and then their income has since changed. So we're seeing a lot of movement with people losing Medicaid.
With a lot of movement, who is most at risk for losing Medicaid coverage this year?
Anyone whose income has changed significantly, if they've got a different job, if they have all of a sudden some savings. I know a lot of people took advantage of the extra unemployment benefits, and so they have savings sometimes now beyond the limits. So anyone whose income has changed since they first applied, that those are the people who are losing it now.
And more than 240,000 Wisconsinites left Medicaid coverage as of October 23rd, and that's analysis by KFF. That's an independent health research organization. What healthcare options are available to people losing Medicaid coverage this year?
So for people under the age of 65 or who aren't eligible for Medicare, they can go into the Affordable Care Act, healthcare.gov marketplace, and many of those people are eligible for subsidies. It certainly is going to be more expensive for them than Medicaid, which is very low cost for people. And then for people who are eligible for Medicare, they essentially are needing, for the most part, to switch their Medicare plan. Many beneficiaries who are Medicare and Medicaid have a combo called a dual needs plan, which they're great plans, but people are needing to switch out of those then, or they lose the benefits.
How much help is there to do this? Where do people seek navigation help and you know, trying to figure out where to go from here with their plans?
So I am perhaps somewhat biased because I'm an independent agent, but I can always recommend, you know, find a local independent agent or broker, ideally someone who represents a whole bunch of plans, not just one or one company, so that they can really do a comparison shop for you. There is also, as mentioned at the top of the hour with the call-in, there's the Medigap Helpline, which is the state health insurance program, and that is run through the state of Wisconsin. So the folks there actually do have independent agent licenses, but they are paid through the state instead of commissions through insurance companies. So both of those are good options, especially for local assistance. The plans are unique to Wisconsin. So sometimes calling a 1-800 number with call centers throughout the country, they don't really understand the networks or what the different providers are. So those are both good resources. There's definitely a local agent where you live.
And really understanding the local system and the local networks is important. You know, Medicaid.gov says more than 650,000 Wisconsin children are in Medicaid's Children Health Insurance Program, CHIP. Are children eligible for the program if parents become ineligible for Medicaid?
Yes. So criteria for adults and children was separated out in Wisconsin Medicaid program when Badger Care was only slightly expanded back in 2010 with the Affordable Care Act. We didn't fully expand, but yes, there are plenty of families where the children are still on Badger Care. Children are eligible up to 300% of the federal poverty level. Adults are only eligible up to 100% of the federal poverty level.
Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. You can be part of this conversation about health insurance at any point. Call in with a question. You can add your perspectives, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Open enrollment for Medicare is underway. We dig into your questions about comparing plans and coverage. Thanks to Artie and Tom in Madison, Mary in Park Falls for encouraging a discussion about Medicare coverage. And you can be part of it. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie Tischer is an independent insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. Sadie, you say the biggest questions that you get from clients is about the capping out-of-pocket drug costs with Medicare. What should people know about maximum costs?
I think the best thing they can know is that, you know, there's relief coming, which is fantastic. Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, that's what's going to happen in 2025. There's going to be a $2,000 cap. $2,000 might sound like a large amount, but it, with what we're dealing with, it is a pretty small amount. I did a search for a client a couple of weeks ago, and her out-of-pocket costs were well over $10,000. So, and that's not all that irregular in the Medicare prescription drug benefit, especially if someone needs brand name drugs. There are certain drugs that a person does need to take a brand name for medical reasons, or there's not a viable generic for them. So it really is going to have a huge impact. It was really exciting part of the Inflation Reduction Act. The Inflation Reduction Act, as we kind of talked about in the first half too, there's going to be some negotiation by Medicare of drug pricing, and there's going to be penalties for the drug manufacturers if they refuse to negotiate too. So it's a good first attempt, I think, for the federal government to put some caps on the absolutely exponential cost of prescription drugs that we have just seen over the last really for several decades, but it just continues to grow exponentially in cost. There's been no control on the pricing of drugs, and that can really affect seniors because the Medicare drug program, specifically the 2003 Medicare Modernization Act, prohibited the federal government from negotiating prices. So that really hurt. It just let drug companies set whatever prices they want for prescriptions.
So if you choose a private plan instead of like original Medicare, like a private plan in like Part C, do Medicare Advantage plans have out-of-pocket limits?
They do for medical. So the prescription drug portion of a Medicare Advantage plan, if it has drug coverage, is sort of separate. It's combined within the plan, but the drug costs are actually counted separately. And that $8,000 max that I had mentioned earlier, that does apply to Medicare Advantage plans as well.
Okay. And, you know, how should you go about comparing these all-in-one Medicare Advantage plans versus like buying a standalone Part D Medicare plan that gives you the prescription drug coverage?
I think it really depends on your personal needs. Medicare Advantage plans can be really great. They offer a lot of extra benefits. They have a cap on health costs. That can be great. They have most of them have some sort of dental or vision. Some of the benefits are quite generous on that. And then people with original Medicare and a Part D plan often have a supplement plan instead of a Medicare Advantage plan. So it's sort of different needs for different people. I'd really recommend you talk to a professional, like a local broker, the state health insurance program, that Medigap helpline. Get some local help from someone who does this every day. Medicare is extremely complicated. Our jobs are to know it every day. Like, we are experts in this field. So there's a lot of help available.
Let's go to Craig in Gays Mills. Craig, hi. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. An additional resource to what you've already mentioned for people trying to sort out their options where they particularly live would be your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center, the ADRCs, in each county in Wisconsin.
Craig, do you have a personal connection, or have you worked through an ADRC before?
Well, yes, both. I have personally used our ADRC here in Crawford County and got very good help with one of the staff persons there in making my own choices about Medicare. And I also serve on the board of both our county board and also on the ADRC committee here, so I'm familiar with what we can offer here in Crawford County, but ADRCs are in every county in Wisconsin as well.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this resource to the conversation. Appreciate it, Craig. And Sadie, just noting there that there is help, especially in, you know, county by county help for aging and disability resource centers.
Yes, and I myself actually came out of the Milwaukee County ADRC. I was a disability benefit specialist there myself. So that's actually what I used to do before this. Yes.
that hits close to home. So, Artie of Madison recently called into our show and said there's a lot of misinformation out there on Medicare and Medicaid. What is often misunderstood about these programs?
There's a lot that's misunderstood. I think for me, the most frustrating thing is the commercials, particularly Medicare Advantage commercials. I don't want to say that they're misleading, but they only highlight certain benefits.
$0 premiums, free exercise classes, preloaded debit cards. Can I keep going?
Exactly. And thank you. That is actually a really good point, Kate. So that is probably my biggest frustration is the preloaded debit cards or help with utility bills or groceries. Those are all dual needs plans for people who are eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. And what is so frustrating to me, this happens in calls too. It's not just commercials. There's a lot of unsolicited calls from call centers going on. They start with telling you that benefit. They find out inevitably you're not eligible for Medicaid because the people who are, like, that's a relatively narrow population. And then they already have you on the phone, and now they're going to kind of bait and switch you into switching into a different plan. Now you haven't gotten local help. The number of people that I have spoken to that have originally picked a plan or got a call from some representative somewhere out there, switched them into a plan that then didn't cover their doctors or their local hospital or this medication that they need. That's why I really encourage some sort of local help, whether that's through a broker, the SHIP program, the Medigap program, they're kind of interchangeable terms, your local ADRC, if they're able to provide that service, some sort of local help that can walk you through those plans rather than picking up the call.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer, who is an independent health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. With Medicare open enrollment underway, answering your questions at 800-642-1234. Sadie, you mentioned earlier about supplements, Medicare supplement plans, and I think it's called Medigap. What should we know there when a supplement is needed?
So those are interchangeable terms. Yeah, we can either call them a supplement plan or a Medigap plan. Medigap plans, in my opinion, are really good for people who have higher medical needs. And that's because they essentially cover more, but you pay for it in a monthly premium. Medicare supplement plans were not touched by the Affordable Care Act, so they do underwrite for medical conditions. You get a 6-month guaranteed issue when you first turn 65 or you're first eligible for Medicare Part A and B. So whenever you start that, whether it's before 65 or after because you've delayed for work. So during that period, you can go into any Medicare supplement plan without underwriting. After that period, there are very few scenarios. There are a couple, but very few scenarios in which you can switch over to a supplement plan. So my advice is if you think you're going to need one, get it early.
Okay. Carol now in Northern Illinois. Carol, what is your question?
Good morning. This is more like, what have you got for us? Because we've had the Medicare for 5 years. I never got the drug plan. And it's not that I blew it off because I have notes and stuff, and I'm not on any medication. And in order to pick the plan, because they're all independent, I'm in Illinois, not Wisconsin, but, it is a national program. So I'm at that point where I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep my Medigap because it seems like it pays for a lot. I haven't had a problem there, but the drug plan, I'm trying to work with the SHIP lady, the aging, they help with those plans. And and she's like, educate yourself. And I this sounds like me, but I don't know where to go because they're, you pay, like she said, get the cheapest per month. And I said, because I have a friend that might have breast cancer, and those are the expensive drugs with all that donut hole and all that stuff.
Carol, I want to pause there. Sadie, go ahead on trying to navigate Part D, the prescription drug coverage, if you haven't had it before.
Yeah, so I would recommend you talk to a local broker, someone who works with multiple plans, and have them do a comparison shop and educate you a bit on that, because you're right, like it's complex information. That being said, if you don't take any prescriptions currently, I tend to recommend just an inexpensive plan. Reason being, all prescription drug plans have to cover drugs in each of the Medicare categories. So each plan does have drugs in a category. What we want to look at, maybe a different or more expensive plan, is when people have specific drugs that we want to look at. So it's difficult to prepare yourself for any eventuality. Just keep in mind, too, you get to switch plans every year. So if you're worried about worst case scenario, you can always switch for the following year. But every drug plan covers drugs within each category. It just might have a higher deductible.
Sadie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much, Kate.
Sadie Tischer, owner and an independent broker at Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.